Hey everyone, it's Norm Farrar, aka The Beard Guy, with another Lunch with Norm, The Rise of the Micro Brands. Lunch with Norm. Lunch with Norm. All right, well, we're broadcasting to you live on Facebook, YouTube, and LinkedIn. If you're watching on the replay, you can always skip ahead. And for those of you watching on my personal profile page, you can always go over to the official fan page. Sounds complicated, but it's not. Norm Farrar, a.k.a. The Beard Guy. And we have the whole episodes. We also have clips. We have other content. So check it out. It's got a, well, we're trying to keep you informed. It's everything e-com. All right, so today, Kelsey, are you there?
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show.
We're running a little bit late, but sorry about that.
Yeah, we had a little bit of difficulties, but we're back at it.
It was the gnome. It was contract negotiation time. Yeah.
All right, so you guys know what to do. Follow us on social media, Facebook, YouTube. Anything that you see here goes directly up to the YouTube page. So we have full episodes, short clips, everything going out. We are an official podcast, so you can see us on Apple and Spotify too. So it's great. And we are, hello Nathan, welcome to the show.
Hey Nathan.
We are looking for names for the community because we are starting to grow. So if you have a great name that you guys want to be called, let us know. It can be the Normies, the Narmy, whatever. Let's make it fun. And yeah, that's it for me, I think. If you're watching this already, just like and share and get the word out about us. And we have Mo from Mo Kuhail. Hello. Welcome to the show. Okay, perfect.
All right. So the other thing I want to just talk about briefly is the other podcast that that I'm working on called I Know This Guy. And basically with that podcast, it's just about interesting people. And what I found with most of the people that I've talked to throughout the years is that it's taken a heck of a lot of failure to get to a success. And I didn't want to show Lamborghinis and, oh, here's money. And, you know, oh, they were lucky getting there. You know, it was very easy to be successful. It's not. A lot of people, they struggle, they have ulcers, they learn, they get dragged through the streets. I mean, it's tough to be an entrepreneur. Some of the time you get to, you know, hit a home run right off the bat. That's not the norm. But in this podcast, I Know This Guy, it just talks about, we dive deep into just what's good, what's bad, what's ugly. And hopefully it gives people inspiration to think outside the box and to let them know that there are options, not only for e-com, but just in life in general. So with that being said, let's get on to today's show. And I have a very special guest today, Afolabi Orokan, who's also a partner in our sourcing logistics company called Honu Worldwide. So there'll be no bias, actually. You know, and remember, guys, I not only had other sourcing companies on, just the other day we had Novaland on. So I try not to just say, oh, you know, this is from our standpoint, but why not? Anyways, no bias. We're not going to be selling anything. It's just content. And today it's going to be about Q4. And I think it's important that, you know, we take a look at Q4. This is going to be a different Q4 than ever before. And Afolabi is going to help you know, just clarify some of the things that are happening. So why don't we just sit back, relax, grab that cup of coffee and enjoy the show. So without further ado, hello, sir.
Hi, how are you?
I am doing great. Yeah. Scared the heck out of me.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm always happy to be here on the show with you.
Yeah, boy, we had a bit of a miscommunication, and it was on me. But anyways, I'm glad that that you're here, and we can talk about this now. I'm sure we're going to have a lot of questions today. So let me see. Where should we start, sir? Why don't you give a little bit of background about yourself?
I'm trying to see where to start. Well, I enjoy sourcing. I've been sourcing for over 20 years. I like logistics, you know, just moving goods from one point to the other and just negotiating prices. I just enjoy that. So I started several years ago. I was one of the first few people to actually start selling on Amazon when, you know, they used to do transitioning from books into, you know, other merchandise. So that was like 20 years ago or something. But now I just focus on, you know, sourcing, supply chain. I just enjoy that, you know, having offices in China and, in, you know, having a 20,000 square foot warehouse here in PA to help brands with their sourcing needs and their, you know, order fulfillment and storage and, you know, one stop from the beginning to the end. I just like to do stuff like that.
Yeah. So, when you said that 20 years ago when Amazon was transitioning, mm-hmm. so they actually called you in to get your opinion on a bunch of stuff, huh?
Yeah, they, I don't know, I think my wife posted the shoes that I designed several years and they liked it. They said, look, we like to have your products on. And those were the days there was no Seller Central. They were all flat file, you know.
Yeah.
You're going to put everything in flat file and upload the files, and it's going to shoot back a lot of errors. You know, you have to spend the whole day fixing the errors. And but it was fun.
Still is fun.
Yeah, I'd be there, and and it was selling. It was doing very well. So, yeah, I still remember those days.
What is funny is we've talked before, and one of the things I almost became was a shoe designer apprentice.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
Yeah, back, gosh, 30 plus years ago, that's what I was starting out to do, is to design shoes. So it's funny that you ended up designing shoes and putting them on Amazon. So anyways, let's get into this. So fourth quarter is going to be completely different this year. Yeah. So for those new to Amazon, can you explain what is different this fourth quarter than other previous years?
Wow, a lot.
Yeah.
A lot. This is going to be the biggest because everybody's home. Everybody's home and people are buying a lot of products. And this is going to be the biggest so far. And another thing that just came up is this, you know, crazy IPI restrictions that you cannot, you know, last year you can send a bunch of goods for Amazon to store for you, but now they don't want your goods. They only want a small number. They're kind of segregating with, you know, maybe even the highest sellers compared, you know, if you don't sell to, you know, according to a threshold, you know, they don't want a lot of your stuff to be sent in. So that is a game changer. We don't know why they did that, but it's definitely going to change the way for us to react this Q4.
So just to, for those that don't know what an IPI restrictions are, it's the inventory planning index or performance index. And it used to have, it's rated based on four different areas. And if you're below 500, it restricts your product from being shipped. It used to, you could ship anything in before. Now it starts off at 200 units. So do you have any strategies there for the IPI? I know I've got a couple that I use, but do you have anything that you can give to Amazon sellers?
Well, it depends on, are you comfortable having your products sitting in China? Or you want it for the peace of mind, or for whatever reason, psychologically, you want it on U.S. soil. So if that's the case, you should plan a 3PL strategy, which is ship the 200 allowed into Amazon, but have the remaining stock at a facility waiting to be shipped out in a fraction of the time, like getting ready to be shipped out immediately. So right now, Amazon sellers would need more of storage and warehousing, unfortunately, because we don't know what's going to happen after the election. We don't know what's going to happen with COVID. We don't know what's going to happen with flu. Right now, anybody sneezes, they think he has a COVID or something. So for that reason, I think it's better to store your goods closer you know, to so that you can respond really fast when Amazon allows you to send in goods. You have it ready to send out. Even the high-speed vessel now is taking longer. Before, it used to be 17 days, but now with high-speed vessels are now taking 25, 30 days because of all this congestion all over.
Right, and that's something that we should touch on. So a lot of the times, it's all about inventory. Fourth quarter this year, in my opinion, it's whoever is going to have the inventory. We don't know what's going to happen with Prime Day, October 13th, I think it is now. So we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if people are going to just go crazy for Prime Day and then forget about Black Friday. I don't think that's going to be the case. But if you don't have the inventory and you're restricted by these IPI restrictions, how do you get around it? So some of the things, or if you do have problems with inventory, let's say you've left the inventory or your manufacturing to the last minute, how do you get the product into Amazon and do it on without losing your rank? And we've talked about this, Afolabi. Mm-hmm. People don't combine the different types of freight out there. So by using a mixture of air freight, high-speed vessel, and just ocean, by ocean, there's different ways, there's different costs. But the most important thing is you've got to keep your inventory in. And if you've got a $50 item and it costs you an extra $2 to get it there for air, you're going to complain. I know, we see it all the time. People are going to, I can't afford it. Yes, you have to afford it depending on your ranking. Because if you go out of inventory, you want to make sure that your rank or your sales history is there, that you're not out for weeks, that we can keep you in Amazon with the inventory. So I know I told your spiel here, but you know it's important. And can you explain the difference between the three different types of cargo and how you can combine them to get it into a 3PL?
Awesome. So first, you have to make sure that the 3PL you're using has a really good software to be able to help you divide and handle your packages very well. Because if you're going to split into three different strategies, like Norm just said, you can ship some by air. And then as air, the ones you ship by air, as they're selling, the high-speed one is coming behind them. To filling the high speed one to go straight to Amazon as well. Or if they don't allow it, send it to your 3PL. And then the last one is the ocean coming behind every one of them. Go in first with your hair shipment if you can. It will be really good. And then gradually push the high speed next to it. And then your ocean to come after. The ocean definitely is the cheapest way. It's also the longest. It takes, you know, could take up to 30 days. And the high speed, depending on where the final destination is, it can take about 15 to 25 days. But the hair could get there in like 5 days, 7 days. So that's what our advice to go. You have to have inventory. Whoever has inventory wins. If you don't, you're going to lose out. But if you do, even if it costs you a little more to have inventory, look, some guy was telling me last week, Norm, that he was running out of inventory, and so were his competitors as well. They were also running out of inventory. Guess what? He started raising his prices. And the more he raised his price, the more they bought, because he's the only one that had inventory. So right. If you're afraid of spending money to get your goods to where it's supposed to go to, it's not a smart move. You should have inventory. And if you're the last man standing with your inventory, you can charge as much as you want for it.
Right. So, I mean, that is a really important point. So getting your inventory either over to Amazon or into a 3PL. So this is really where the discussion starts. So now you've got your product over at a 3PL. Now, how do you control that inventory so that you can work with your 3PL and with Amazon FBA. So for me, and this is Kevin King came on a little while ago and he was talking about I'm working with a 3PL and what he's doing is he's creating the FBA. Now, we all know that we're having problems in some areas. We've waited over 4 weeks to get received. I know people that one of my clients has waited 3 months to get some product in. So we don't know what's going to happen. Sometimes it only takes days. But if we have the FBA and it's taking a lot more time to get received into Amazon, let's say you can ship 1,000 units or 1,500 units. It doesn't do you any good if it's stuck and it's not going into the fulfillment center. Now this is where if you have an FBA listing and you create a FBM listing, we just change the SKU and it's called just adding a condition. So you would just go in, create your FBA listing. And then if you go under inventory, you go to edit, you click edit and you'll see add a new condition. You add the new condition, you create a new SKU number, and now you have an FBM. Now what happens is that if you go out of inventory or if it's taking forever to get into fulfillment, it switches over to FBM and you're working with your fulfillment center. So it takes away, you still get the sales. Amazon, from what I Afalabe, is, in your opinion, is Amazon promoting FBM more now than before?
I think so. I think they are allowing more FBM listings to rank because mm-hmm. they realize that the FBAs is their fault. You know, it's because they put a lot of restrictions on them. That's why everybody's scrambling. So they are also favoring FBM now, like they more than they used to.
Right. So with the struggle that some sellers are having going into FBA, going into Amazon, getting it received, and having the 3PL, are there any other struggles that you see that can happen? And I guess any struggles sending inventory over to Amazon FBA?
I think most of the struggle, apart from the IPI, the most of the struggle is happening on the West Coast for whatever reason. We don't know why it's taking so long for goods to be received in California side. Even though you ship from China, it arrives at the California port in 15 days or 20 days or whatever. You still have to sit before Amazon checks you in. So I think the struggle is almost on the West Coast. That's why it's almost it could be a smart move if you can ship to the East Coast warehouses because I have AVP 1 in Pennsylvania here and things get checked in right away.
Yeah,
we send stuff, we send pallets, we send everything every day. They get checked in. And I heard somebody said, must have been a month ago or something, he mentioned AVP1, which is Hazleton, Pennsylvania, as being the most effective warehouse now that Amazon operates. So if you can avoid West Coast and ship your stuff to, you know, East Coast or East Coast facility for 3PL or whatever, I think you can. You may be able to get stuff checked in a lot faster.
Right. Okay, so one of the things that we don't think about whenever we're talking about a 3PL or a warehouse is somewhere over here. And we don't think about China. Mm-hmm. And there are, you can split what you're doing. And this goes back to more inventory strategy. You know, when we had Chelsea on and we were talking with Chelsea about this, but keeping your inventory, keeping a part of your inventory in stock, either at the manufacturer or 3PL in China, mm-hmm. and just having it there ready.
Yes.
Because we don't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So if you have that inventory over there and you've got inventory over here, once it's triggered to go from here, from the warehouse here over to Amazon, you can get the inventory sent over either by air or a combination from your Chinese 3PL and then put another order in. So you'll never run out of inventory. You should always have inventory in.
Yes.
And right now, based on the negotiating podcast that we did with you a few months ago, the ability to negotiate with your manufacturers so that they can keep inventory in stock for you very inexpensively.
Yes.
It's the way to go. So
yep.
Don't think of it as just your 3PL here in North America. You can utilize 3PLs in China to split it, or you could use your manufacturer for a warehouse until you trigger some sales from the 3PL here over.
Yes.
Okay. So is there any other thoughts on sending the inventory over to a 3PL here in the US?
Well, I would say some of the things I might want to talk about is how do you choose a 3PL?
Okay. Or
before you choose a 3PL, what are the factors to consider? And some of them would be, do they accept returns for you? Because now, as you're going into Q4, products that are not going to sell in Q4, a lot of sellers are running around now trying to find a way to take them off of Amazon's, you know, warehouses to send it to some 3PL to keep for them. So what, the first thing is, does your 3PL take returns? The second question would be, what are the storage prices for them to store for you? I've seen rates as much as $40 a pallet before in some of the 3PLs online. I think on the West Coast, it may be $25. On the East Coast, it's about $15 a month to store your goods. Another question to ask your 3PL is, can they do FBM orders for you? Because we are talking about people having FBM listing. What if you have a 3PL that is not set up for fulfillment? That means they will not be able to fulfill your orders for you. They will not be able to do kitting for you. They will not be able to, you know, take care of stuff for you. And then I do have people ask me questions about, what if my order, if I need to do kitting, or if my orders, if my products have some defects or damages or minor stuff, repackaging, how flexible are your 3PL to help you handle all the problems that can come from your products? You might want to repackage. You might want to put some nails into some places. You might want to do so many things that will make your life easier. If you want to do bundling, if you want to do so many things. So that's what I think people should take seriously. How, you know, ask these questions, ask your 3PLs about this question so that you just don't create FBM orders for fun and realize that after you create your FBM orders, oh, your 3PL says, oh, I'm sorry, we can't fulfill for you.
Hey, Afalabi. So mm-hmm. I had a client just recently that big brand, large brand. They just came on board. And so I thought, okay, this is great. You know, we created a shipping plan. They didn't accept it. So they wouldn't ship it out. Just they could only send over 200 units. Anyways, they had to use their warehouse. Their warehouse wasn't used to just a typical UPS pickup. So it has been almost 2 months. And if we put in a shipping plan, it could take them 1 week to 2 weeks just to pick the product to get it over to Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
So you're absolutely right that if you're not set up, when we're working with these IPI restrictions, and let's say that, you know, you might be working with rebates or you might be working with some influencers and you want to send out 50 units or 100 units ASAP, you've got to be able to do that and then replace them with the product from your 3PL. And if they can't turn it around for a week or two and then it's got to go into Amazon, I mean, that's going to suck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. That 3PL, it's probably because they don't have a USPS route or they don't have a bulk shipment in that area. They're just like a volume maybe more of a warehousing setup. They don't have a fulfillment setup. And some 3PLs, they are not set up to do what we call batch scanning. Batch scanning is, let's say you have 40 orders today, right? And the USPS come to pick it up. The guy is so tired. The guy that comes to pick up is so tired, and you expect him to scan each one of your 40 packages. Remember, other clients' packages are going to be picked up with you as well. This guy's going to take 2 hours just scanning. But if you have a 3PL that has what we call batch scanning, you just print out one paper. It has one barcode on it. Once they scan that barcode, it already automatically scans all the packages in one shot. Right. So a lot of 3PLs don't know how to do that. And for that reason, they let goods sit for a while. And they're also not on a frequent USPS route. For that reason, your goods could sit there for a long time.
Okay. Hey, I just noticed, Kelsey, there was a question from Nathan.
Yep. So Nathan is asking, is it true the same product can have an FBA listing and FBM listing? And Simon, I think, helped out and said, yes, Nathan, you can use FBA and FBMs as the same product. You need to create a SKU code for one, just add FBM to the SKU.
Yeah. So, and
is that correct?
Yeah. That a lot of people before would create a completely separate listing. You don't have to do that. So you just go into whatever your FBM listing is right now, or FBA listing, and click edit. Then you'll see add a condition. You add the condition, and now you and a different SKU number, and you're going to have an FBM. So no problem whatsoever. One thing you might want to consider, depending on your profit margin, it's the shipping cost. So how do you keep it in line? And you don't want to have people get turned off because of, you know, huge shipping costs. For me, I'll eat some of the shipping costs just because I want to get the sale. So they might look at it and think, oh, you know, it's not prime. So I'm going to be paying a little bit extra. Or it might be the length of time that it might take. So you can adjust that all in the back end. But anyways, yeah, check that out. That I can't emphasize that enough. Do the two listings for fourth quarter. So getting back to you, Afalabi, you were talking about some things that people should check on and make sure that the questions to ask an FBM, or sorry, a warehouse, a 3PL.
Yeah. Yeah. We talked about the scan code. Your 3PL software could make or break you. The software that your 3PL uses, typically your 3PL software should connect into your Amazon store and pull your orders from there and sync your inventory with the warehouse into your Amazon's FBM listings. So you don't want to be doing that manually. You have to sync that perfectly so that you can do that. Also, you may want to consider multiple channels. If you have your Shopify store or you have Walmart or whatever, you can also make sure that your 3PL has a software that can connect to your multiple channel so that you can sell in, you know, because if people don't see it on Amazon, maybe they'll Google it or whatever. Just be ready for that as well to make sure the software connects very well. And how easy it is for you to send work orders. I like SoStock. I like Chelsea SoStock a lot.
That's a great app.
Yeah, you can create a lot of work order through that system. You know, the 3PL software we use, you can also create work orders from that as well. But make sure that your 3PL is using a really good software. Another thing we didn't talk about, Norm, is forecasting. Many people still use old school spreadsheet to forecast. And Chelsea software is also very good. It has a really good algorithm in forecasting. So it's all about planning. We're all what Norm is talking about today on this show is about planning. Let's plan ahead. If you plan ahead of time, you will not find yourself in a difficult situation. Make sure you put on a forecasting into your system. Let the forecasting software forecast how many pieces you should prepare for Q4. Now break it down into the units that are going to be sitting in your 3PL warehouse and the units you're going to send into Amazon. And also let your 3PL know that they will be fulfilling FBM orders for you. Once you set up that way ahead of time, come Prime Day or come Christmas or Thanksgiving, you will be ready to go, because the software would help the 3PL manage your orders, get your orders out the door really quick. I've seen 3PLs that shipments come to them, and unfortunately, because you don't have a good system in place, they don't have a good software in place, it takes them a while to be able to pick, pack, and ship.
So let's talk about that. So those types of expenses, they're not so much hidden, but let's talk about different charges that you can expect from a 3PL.
Mm-hmm. So you have your inbound. That means when you send your goods to 3PLs, for them to offload the truck or to receive the goods for you, they'll have to charge you for it. And then for them to put it on a pallet and wrap it and then put it on a rack in their warehouse, they charge for that. They charge for the cost of wrapping it for you. And that's the inbound. Now, the outbound and the storage is just the cost of storing your goods. Some you can calculate. If you have very small items, you can calculate per cubic feet. But if you do have a lot of inventory, then you calculate per pallet. Usually a pallet could be up to 4 feet high when they stack it up for you. And then the cost of the pallets, the wooden pallets itself, sometimes it's like $10. And then you have your outbound. So when you're shipping stuff out, or when you tell your 3PL to send stuff out for you, there's a cost involved. The cost to go fetch to go get the carton or the case and put a label on it and then send it out. Or if you're shipping multiple pallets, they will charge you to put it on a pallet and ship it out. Now, there's a trick to that. When your 3PLs, if they're really good, if they're receiving your goods and you're shipping large items, your goods will be palletized according to the SKUs. Don't let them palletize multiple SKUs on the same pallet. The reason why is if you have multiple SKUs on the same pallets and you want to ship out pallets in the future for your outbound, it will cost you to grab some SKUs from one pallet and then go mix it with another pallet. Every time a 3PL picks up anything, they charge for it. And it's legit because somebody is doing the picking and somebody is doing the packing for you. But to avoid that, if you have large goods or large products, make sure they palletize per SKU so that when you're about to send out your goods on pallets, it's the same pallets they already made for you that they're going to slap labels on and send it out. You're not paying twice. You're only paying once.
And the other thing too, some of the other costs could be putting a sticker on. Mm-hmm. So, just putting the F and SKU on the product.
Yes.
It's a minor amount, but you know what the difference is? What I like when some of the products, I sell soap. So I bought my own soap to see what it was like. And they had put the FNSQ on the front right over top of the brand, like right over. Ooh. It looked ugly. And when you're doing it through a 3PL, you can tell them, hey, I want it on the side. I want it like this. And it's typically about the same charge as what Amazon would be, or cheaper. So it might be a little bit more, it might be a little bit less, but that's something that you have control on. So just keep that in mind. And there's other type of packaging. So exterior packaging or, just different prep packaging that can happen. Mm-hmm. It costs more, but I'd rather have the control of that than mm-hmm. giving Amazon the control, who really gives two hoots about your product. Mm-hmm. And it shows. Just take a look at the products that you receive from Amazon. And like I bought Seedlip. Okay, so I bought a product. It's a non-alcoholic gin. Mm-hmm. And it came in this huge bubble pack in an egg carton. And I'm going, oh my God, like this brand, it was expensive and it just cheapened the brand so much. I mean, yeah, it looked like a good product, but why would they do that? You know, the 3PL, I guarantee you, if they would have just spent a little bit of time on a nice carton, they would have probably done it. Or had a 3PL just, you know, create it for them instead of letting Amazon do it.
Yeah.
But all right. So, sir, what else can we think about for the Amazon seller? Or, oh no, here. You just talked about multi-channel.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about inventory and it's going to be a great shopping experience on Amazon, mm-hmm. but we haven't even touched on Shopify or those other channels.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to boom too. And one of the things that you can do to compete against Amazon is have your own Prime Day,
yes.
you know, put it out there on Facebook that you're having a special day, same thing, 20% off, 30%, mm-hmm. make money, but give a discount code, let people know about it. You know, for me, I'd put it into a press release or whatever it is, but put it on Facebook, mm-hmm. let them know, drive it over, and then have your 3PL send it out.
Yep.
And multi-channel is what a lot of people are not thinking about. They think strictly Amazon when they think of FBM, but you know, the service like yours, it's for everybody. It's not just for Amazon.
Yeah. People are not taking Walmart seriously. If you have a Walmart worthy product, you know,
right.
some brands don't fit into that, but Walmart is not, they're not joking. They are moving really fast and they're really serious about it. One thing you said about packaging, another way to save in your 3PL cost is to have your product made in such a way that your box could actually be the shipping box.
Now I know why you're my partner. In China, very inexpensive. And perceived value is higher. You can sell it for more. Oh my God.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you're saving yourself sometimes $3-4 just in 3PL cost per item, because some of these boxes may be so big, but if you have colorful box straight from China, your product is ready to go in its own beautiful blue, yellow, whatever color theme you have. All a 3PL will do is just to slap a nice, you know, 4x6 label on your beautiful box. And you can even create a little white spot on the back of that box so that it can put that label nicely on that. It will be lovely.
Yep. It's perfect. That is definitely a way to go. And it would be inexpensive. But here's another trick for that. Make sure when you're designing the box that you don't put too much space in it. So you're going to get for Amazon storage, mm-hmm. it's not so much long-term storage, but if it's a larger container, if you put an extra inch all the way around or quarter inch all the way around, you're going to get dinged for that.
Yes.
So as long as it's got the ability to cushion a drop, or if it's for protection of the product, it's all good, but don't make it more conservative in the space that you use, and it'll be less expensive to store.
It also it also prevents damages.
Mm-hmm.
If you have products in a box that is too big, the products move around. Once your product is moving around, especially if you have a wooden product or something like that, it starts to ding. You know, by the time it gets to the customers, I've seen products that they're in pieces by the time they get to where they're going, because they're always moving around. And Amazon puts this little product into a large box and it's moving all over, because, you know, I also encourage people to, if you have an Amazon warehouse, FBA warehouse close to you, you can go take a tour. I know there's tour in Pennsylvania, tour in New Jersey. Go take a tour. Just go see how they handle your stuff. You'll be better prepared next time. And it's free. It's a free tour. You even get a free mug or something.
Do we give free mugs? Oh, and you know what? The people that are listening, I should have said this at the beginning, but so Afolabi is also a multi-seven-figure Amazon seller himself. So he knows about Amazon. He knows about branding. So just it's not just a 3PL. This came because he had such a successful product that he decided to open the 3PL originally. So yep. Just to give you a little bit of background so you know some of the anxiety and some of the issues around Amazon. Amazon Prime, okay? So if you want to do Amazon Prime eligible, what do people have to look at? We don't do that. But what should you look at for a 3PL that does do the Prime eligible?
They have to have the Seller Fulfilled Prime badge. Mm-hmm. And they have to be able to ship out. As for their cutoff point, when orders come in, some of the 3PLs say, well, when orders come in before 3 p.m., it ships out the same day, or before 12 noon, it ships out the same day. Just ask them, when does the order ship out for me once I receive that? I mean, once I have an order, when does it ship out? Another thing is, how many hours notice do you guys need if I want you to send stuff to FBA for me? Do you need 24 hours notice? Do you need 48 hours notice? The faster they can push stuff out for you, the better. There's something we are implementing in our 3PL facility. I don't know whether other people have it. Is before you even send your goods from China, we would be able to send you a label. We'll email you a label for every box, for your supplier to put on every box. And each of those labels have a barcode, and that barcode records the content of that box. So if you're sending 17 boxes and the 17th box has only 50 pieces and the other 16 boxes have 85 pieces, we want to know ahead of time so that it's going to be faster. It will save you time. Can you imagine we receive your 17 boxes and we log it in and we tell you, oh, Susan, we received 17 boxes for you. And Susan says, well, there is one box in there that contains 50 pieces instead of 85 pieces. Can you help me check? Anytime somebody gets up in a 3PL, they're charging you. Why not already get a label from your 3PL before your product leaves China? Let them slap the label on it. The one that contains 17th box that contains only 50 pieces, it's already there in the label that we're going to give you. So when we scan it in, we know that this is this box of 50 pieces instead of 85 pieces. Then we don't charge you anything to go count. Anytime somebody sits down and open your box and is counting, guess what? You're paying for it.
Right. So, and here's another, just a tip to look for, especially overseas. Mm-hmm. So if there is a kitting issue, you want to check with your US 3PL and your Chinese, it could be a freight forwarder, but a 3PL over there. Mm-hmm. I found in the past, this happened. Oh my God, what a nightmare. So I had these fridge magnets and some little kid had swallowed a magnet. Mm-hmm. Talk about a problem, right? Like a real problem. Wow. And so we had to figure out, we didn't think this was a fake review. This was a real thing that we had to jump on. And anyways, we had 480,000 fridge magnets. So not boxes, just individual pieces that we had to, the manufacturer refused to, it was all pressure. So we had to glue a magnet in so a kid couldn't pull it out or couldn't fall out.
Wow.
Sort them, 62 pieces, put them in a poly bag, heat seal the poly bag, put them in to the packaging, and then package them. I had a U.S. company quote on this. It was $155,000. In China, the complete, I had 22 people working, I think it was 2 weeks, and I paid $5,500. So don't always explore. Mm-hmm. There are options in China that are incredibly, it'll be well worth it compared to the American counterpart. And if you do have a 3PL here, ask them if they are aligned over in China with anybody, because that was $150,000 savings on one order.
Yes, I agree. If you can kit from China, it will be better. But I do realize we have some brands that just prefer to kit here just because they want to watch how, they want to see how the market is reacting to their sales and to their ranking. So that's fine. But if you know you can do the kitting from China, it's better to do it. It's way less than to have somebody here, you know, a $15 or $20 an hour person do it here, where you could do it for, you know, $3 an hour person over there.
Right.
So we do have some questions that have come in. We also, I'm not sure how to pronounce his name, but Ari Shikhar says hello. And I think we also have...
Hey, how are you?
A couple of people. Yelchin is joining us.
Hey, Yelchin.
Mark. Lots of people.
Hi, Mark.
Hi. the question is about the color boxes. So don't the color boxes get damaged during container loading? If not, inside a shipping carton, is there a chance the lovely color box will be damaged if sent FBM from the 3PL?
One thing. What can happen with your printing, like if they're rubbing, they can put a coating on that will stop it from rubbing, or it'll take more to rub off the coating. A lot of people don't put on the coating that protects the actual ink from rubbing off, but that's one way of protecting it. Anyways, go ahead, Afolabi.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the first things I'll say as well. You have to put a lamination on your box printing first. And if you're talking about damages with puncturing, if you use a very good quality box, it will be harder to puncture the box if sent FBM from the 3PL. There is a chance, of course, when UPS comes in to pick up your product or FedEx comes in to pick up your product, they could damage it. It happens. But if you're unloading, that's another major thing. When you're unloading your boxes from the container into a 3PL facility, usually I like to send photos, honestly, when we unload anything and if we notice any damage, we take a photo and we attach it to your file for that inbound. As we take inbound and we see a box that is not looking so well, we'll take a photo and we'll say, you know what? We already fixed the box. We will tape it in nicely and say, don't worry about it. But if there are some, like we got a box, we got some shipment like 2-3 months ago and they were all soaked and wet because I guess they've been sitting in UPS van over the weekend and the van was leaking or whatever. We don't know what happened, but they came in and they were all soaked and, you know, so we had to take photos, send it to the customer, say, hey, look, your boxes came all wet, but we can buy boxes for you and transfer into, do you want us to do that? And she said, yeah. So we transferred it into a better box. But when you're shipping from FBM directly to your customers, anything can happen. The best way to protect yourself is to use a very good quality box at the very beginning, because it's going to, good quality box could be a difference of 20 cents. And people just, I don't know why, they don't want to spend 20, 25 cents to have a good quality box. And then when something bad happens, it's costing you $2 or $3 per damage. So I would say invest in really good 5-tier boxes or whatever. If you have heavy products, please invest some money into your really good box. It will save you a lot of, you know, headaches.
And you're talking about an outer box to package the goods.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. And we have one more question from Simon again. Does a 3PL really take care about where they slap the UPS label?
A good one does.
Good one.
It's on the direction of it shouldn't be, but sometimes if the 3PL doesn't know, let's say that you want it on the right behind a certain, like under the ingredients, if you give instructions, then we would know about it, or the company would know about it. Mm-hmm. If you just don't say anything, they don't happen to know where they should put it, and it might go in the wrong spot. But that would be something that the 3PL, if you're asking somebody to put a sticker on, you would just give them the direction. Is that correct, Afolabi?
Yes. I would say, you know, Simon, make sure you give instruction the way you want your stuff to be done, because this facility processes thousands of boxes, thousands. So, and it also goes into the 3PL software. When you scan a product to be shipped out on a conveyor, right? Once you scan it in, your instruction will pop up and say, make sure you slap your UPS label on the left side. You know, so that's how I think you will take care of that. Make sure you tell your 3PL to do that. And usually they will do it.
Kels, is there another question?
No, that's it for now.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we're getting close to winding it down. Is there anybody out there that has any questions about 3PLs, either for Amazon or working with other multi-channel, with multi-channels? And if not, hey, Afolabi, is there any other tips, tricks, anything that you'd like to add?
Well, I think I can just do a summary of everything you talked about and I talked about.
Sure.
The number one thing is plan. You gotta plan. Don't Q4, you know, I know you've been talking about, you know, in all your podcasts, Norm, you've been talking about planning. You really need to plan. If you don't plan, you're going to pay a lot of money. In hair shipment, you're going to pay a lot of money. In high speed, you're going to lose a lot of sales if you don't plan ahead of time. So planning is number one. Plan how much, how many quantity you're ordering. Plan how much, how many is going to 3PL, how many is going to, you know, by hair or to by FBA. Plan everything is the first one. And the second one is, Norm said it, you can use your supplier's warehouse first. That's your first 3PL. And it's free. You know, talk to your supplier, see how they can, you know, store some goods for you. The second one is you can use China 3PLs as well. So we partnered with some very organized Chinese warehouses. They can store stuff for you. If your supplier says no, you know, you can reach out and, you know, can help you out to get your stuff in China. Then set up your FBM listing. If you don't have an FBM listing, Q4, you must have an FBM listing. You must, so that because of the restrictions, once Amazon's inventory runs out, then the FBM kicks in to help you out. And then the fourth one is always have enough stock. Whoever has inventory rules is the last man standing.
That's it. And the last person standing.
Yes.
Okay, so that's great. And if that's the end, if there's no other questions, I appreciate you coming on, Afolabi.
You're welcome.
There's lots going on. We're going to have you on again probably next month to talk about something else, maybe follow up and see what new trends are happening. Mm-hmm. But I really appreciate you hopping on the call with me today.
You're welcome, Sam. It's always an honor to be here. Thank you, Kelsey, for having us here.
Okay.
Thank you, Afolabi.
All right. So I think that's it for the podcast today. I hope everybody enjoyed the show. Look, like I was mentioning at the beginning, if you're looking at the whole episodes, just go over to Norm Farrar, aka The Beard Guy, and check out the page. It's got tons of content on there, highlights from this podcast and other podcasts, as well as the whole episode. If you want, if you're looking at videos, Kelsey's also set it up on YouTube where you get the full episodes, plus a bunch of other content, and he's got a ton of playlists that he's developed over there for you. We also have a newsletter, which I continually say does not suck. Take advantage of it. There's no sales. You're not going to see a ton of ads. It's just content for online sellers and how to better their businesses. Now, it's not all about our content. It's about, you know, maybe it's from Digital Marketer or Neil Patel or all those really great guys that are that we publish. Usually it's Digital Marketer, Seth Godin, Neil Patel. There's tons of content out there that's going to provide you the ammunition to be a better salesperson. So next Wednesday, okay, on Wednesday, we're having another incredible guest on, Profit Factory's Tim Francis. And we talk about knowing your numbers. And that, you know, for me at the beginning, that would make me crawl up in the fetal position. Knowing your numbers does not mean taking a four-year course in accounting. He's going to tell you about a very simple approach about understanding your numbers. And by the end of the episode, I think you're going to walk away with, wow, that was not all that bad. It wasn't that painful. And now you can run your business that much more effectively and efficiently. So anyways, that's it for today. Kelsey, what do we do?
All right. Follow us on social media, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, wherever you, you'd like to find us. We are there. Smash those like buttons.
That's
we
it.
We are...
What am I doing? It's ringing the bell.
Ringing the bell. So yeah. If you're on YouTube, make sure you ring that bell. Anything else you'd like?
No, you've been telling me about bells and likes and smashes and stuff like that. Let's do it.
Yeah. So also we are a podcast, so make sure you subscribe to us. You guys mentioned Chelsea Cohen's episode and Alpha Lobby's negotiating episode. So yeah. You can find, if you guys are interested in that, since you're watching this one, you could go back and watch those two podcasts there.
Oh, yeah. One other thing about that, Kels. Let's put SoStock, the information. It's an excellent app. Just put in the information in the comment section. So if people are looking at it, it's very inexpensive. I don't know if it's still at, but it was like $59. They might have raised the price. I have no idea. But for what you get, it's probably the best value out there for an inventory management system.
Okay. Yeah.
And on that note, join us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at noon Eastern Standard Time. And I don't think we'll be doing any special episodes. We were doing special episodes on Thursday, but that stopped. So Monday, Wednesdays, and Friday. Enjoy the rest of your day, and I hope again that you enjoyed the podcast. And thank you, Alpha Lobby, for joining us.
All right. Thanks, guys. 100, 100, 100.